listeners, welcome to another episode of the God is Geek podcast. I'm riding solo today as the host. Adam Cook isn't here, but we do have two other fantastic gentlemen. We have Mr. Gary Bailey. How are you doing, buddy?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I've literally just come from the cinema watching Spider-Man at last.
Nice.
So I'm buzzing. Yeah. But enough about me. Adam Carroll, you're here as well, mate. After a bit of an absence, we've missed you. How are you?
I just hate the internet. It caused me awful grief. But other than that, I am super duper.
That's good.
And I think hating the internet is kind of a normal thing
it is.
At the moment, really.
But it's really not fun when you're doing a podcast and it gets to just the second when you're about to talk about what you've played and it decides to go, nah, don't want to hear about it, and just cuts you off. And I'm just sitting there going, ah, balls. But yeah, happy to be back.
Good. Well, you know what? I've played a lot of games this week. I know you guys have. I'd just like to talk briefly about my Switch renaissance.
Ooh.
Because I've had a Switch for a while now, and I have played a lot on there, but it's not my console of choice. I tend to just go for sitting in front of the PS4 or Xbox. Because I went to a preview event recently, which talks about maybe a couple of pods ago. I can't quite remember. It's all kind of merged into one. But I went and played stuff like Link's Awakening, Pokemon Sword and Shield. And I just realised how good the Switch is. So I've literally played every night for about 2 to 3 hours every night for the last week and a half, Mario Kart. I don't know why. Well, I know why. It's amazing. But I've just proper got back into it. So I've just been doing that. I've just been going through, like, we've gone through all the cups on my profile. Lauren, my wife, who doesn't really play anything, is obsessed with it. So we've gone through all the cups on hers.
It's that kind of game, though, isn't it? Like anyone can just sit and play Mario Kart and have fun.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to talk about this in a bit, like Crash Team Racing, but Lauren got into that as well. So we had a proper karting fest recently.
Nice.
We're going to give Sonic a go, but like when you've got Mario Kart and Crash, it's difficult to veer off. But along with that, I've finally found my feet with Zelda. Like, I've had it for a while. I've not given it a lot of time, but I'm playing through that now. So that's obviously it's incredible.
Is this like your first time really?
It's not. Yeah. My first time really getting into it. But I've like played some of it before. But I mean, when you like, I'm not moaning. But when you review games, you kind of go from one to the next quite quickly, and you very rarely kind of dabble in much else. And I played Zelda just for fun, but then it kind of took a back seat because I was doing other stuff, reviewing games and whatnot. So it's nice to just have a bit of a break in the year where I've been able to go on something and kind of play for it. It's nice to play it for fun.
Yeah.
I don't have to rush through it and just enjoy it. And I'm enamoured by it, to be honest. Like, it's just such a special game. So I've been playing on that. I've gone back to Mario Odyssey. It's just been lovely. It's just been really nice to play it. And like, after playing Link's Awakening, I can't wait till that comes out, because that's the next one I really want to play, because it just looks amazing. So yeah, I was going to say balls deep in the Switch, but I've said it anyway. So yeah, I'm balls deep in the Switch and I'm loving it. So I've been doing some other stuff. But Adam, what have you been up to?
So, like, I've been playing a lot. I've a big backlog of games, so I'm just going to, like, quickly run through, like, just a few of them. I never had the chance to talk about A Plague Tale Innocence. This is, like, I'm going to say straight out, my favourite game this year. Like,
awesome.
It is incredible. I think, I heard good things about it, and then I remember I was in GameStop and I just saw it there and I was like, €55. I'm okay, fuck it, I'm just gonna go for it. And I went home, and it's around 12 or 13 hours, so I think that is just value right there for me anyway. The story, the soundtrack, the characters, this game has it all for me. Like, I was totally blown away by everything that this game did. And there's something to be said about these games existing. Do you know, we get games now and they're just massive, massive AAA kind of tasks. There's so much to do, so many hours to spend. This is a lot. This is a linear story-driven game with heavily focusing on like stealth, but also some certain combat elements. there's nothing I want to say about the story, only that I adore these characters. And everyone should absolutely play this game before the year is out.
I'm completely like, I don't know anything about it. I've heard a lot about it. I've heard people mention it on Twitter and stuff, and I've literally seen the front cover and that's it. What is it?
Like, I honestly think this is going to be something for you, Chris, especially, that will absolutely, like, you'll fall in love with this story. It's kind of set in like 1348, and there's this girl called Amicia, and she has this brother called Hugo, who has been like ill since like birth, and her, like, their mother has kind of kept them apart this whole time. But I don't want to say anything, because I didn't know much about the story at all, and it was the best thing I ever did, because it's the beats, it's the tension, and like, they do a lot of things with the stealth that just makes everything like on edge. And there's this whole thing to do with a plague of like rats, and these rats, I mean, they are rotten. They are disgusting when they appear in this game. And there's a lot of, like, the gameplay elements surrounding is to, like, stay in the light when these rats appear. Because if you go into the darkness, they just, like, there's just hordes of rats chasing after you. And obviously it goes way deeper. But this game, like, everyone needs to play it. Like, if you have any way of doing, like, getting this game, just go for it straight up. Because I do think, if you do play it, it will be on your top 10 of the year. If 100, at this stage anyway, it will be, because I just think this year in games to this point, now we have a very strong year remainder to come, like, but this game is incredibly important, especially for like these kind of developers who are making these games, you know. It's good to support them, because I think they can be easily passed on. But,
absolutely,
like, this is another, like, the publisher's Focus Home, and like they've been dishing out a lot of games kind of like this, but this is hands down the best one that I've played so far. And
is it like Vampire, like that kind of viewpoint? Is it like it's third person adventure game, or
yeah, it's way more along the lines of, I think, Hellblade. But the thing about that is, I'm not actually like a massive Hellblade fan. I know it's people loved it, but it's just that kind of view. It's like you and your brother are always together. Like, you're holding his hand, and then there's some elements of gameplay where you'd have to like send him forward on his own to like, say, open a window, but you're kind of like keeping an eye out on like the enemies around the area and stuff, and you try to distract him. And all this tension comes with it. But it's the relationship between this brother and sister, because, as I said, they haven't ever really had time with each other, do you know? Like, and all of a sudden, this tragic situation is happening. But there's some of the most, like, it's the things that happen throughout the story, and you then just sitting back as the player going, these are just kids, and look at the shit that they're going through. It's heavy. It's really heavy. But just the element of the gameplay as well, that's in it. Like, I was a bit worried about it, knowing that it was all kind of stealth, because I'm not really into full stealth. But it's not that difficult of a game. But the combat that, like, she has a sling, this kind of like sling with like these two, I think they're like concrete balls or something at either end. And when you can swing it, and you can like take out an enemy if you hit him in the head, you can distract him by hitting some sort of like metal bucket and stuff, and they'll walk over to it. But you can upgrade the sling and stuff, and it doesn't get any like over the top action, but it's just the upgrades are enough of a thing where you kind of go, that's such a cool way of using that and upgrading this kind of simple weapon. I think like the game will go on sale pretty soon, and but I would, it's completely worth the full price. I can't stop thinking about it ever since I played it. I've actually played it twice now at this stage, and just because I just got so invested in these characters, and I ended up following like the developers on Twitter and stuff, and they were announcing like the vinyl and of the soundtrack, and then they were announcing like this exclusive statue. And you know when a game just does this to you, where you're like, I just want everything with this game. I just want to keep supporting it. That's just what it did. And I just hope more things like this come from these writers, especially because the story is exceptional. Like, I don't really have much bad things. There's actually very little bad things to say about this game, for me personally. Just an incredible single player experience that everyone should play.
You've sold me.
Other than that, I never had the opportunity to talk about Crash Team Racing, and you brought this up a while ago, right? So, yeah. Since Crash came out, I've played it pretty much, like, at least, like, probably every day at this stage, you know? Like, just getting into it, getting used to it, because when you initially started coming from Mario Kart, as you know, it's weird, you're not used to it, it's way more challenging, and I know that, like, the challenge level has been discussed to death. We all know it's a hard game. However, since playing it since day one, when you get down the drifting and actually nail the speed, my God, does that game become so much fun. But there's also another way that I think is quite humorous to play the game in, and some people will go, oh Jesus, really? But if you're playing with friends, like when I play it now, I'm playing with like two other friends of mine, and we're just sitting in the same room doing it, and it's like, it's amazing. And the thing about it is, it's sometimes the game just becomes incredibly unfair, and I think we all know that. You know, you just get hammered. You could be in second place, and within a second, you're down to eight again, and you're like, oh my God, this game is just relentless. If you actually want to have fun with, like, when you're just playing with like friends and stuff, I recommend putting the game down to easy mode, right? Because then the computer is kind of out of sight, and you can just get ahead, and that's fine. And it becomes just like you and the friends being neck and neck, and it actually completely changes the game again. It makes it feel what Mario Kart does, I think, because the balance I feel of those two games are so wildly different. Because, you know, you could play Mario Kart with friends, and you'll have that one friend who's absolutely amazing at Mario Kart, like, instantly and first, straight away, knows all the shortcuts, all that jazz. Crash is just, I think it's a lot more luck. Like, you have to be obviously skillful at the game, but, as I said, you get so battered within a second, and then, like, you could have been first for, like, two laps, that sometimes that just takes the fun out of the racing. But, like, I do think the game is absolutely amazing, but I don't think it's better than Mario Kart. However, last night, since the release of Crash, I went out and played Mario Kart 8. And, lads, I was so fucking bad.
I know what you're saying. Like, as I said a minute ago, like, when I went back to it, I thought, you know what? I've not played this for a good year. I'm gonna go on to 200cc, and I can
200. Jesus.
Yeah, I just kept crashing. I was just awful. I was horrendous, and then I had to go back down to 50 to kind of get my bearings again.
Yeah. We jumped into it. We go, oh, let's all put on Crash there. We're just having a couple of beers and stuff, or put on Mario Kart, and let's just see what it feels like again. Because before Crash, Mario Kart would have been like, it's probably the game I've played the most this year, and it's funny you say you're playing it as well, Chris, because this year I've just played so much of Mario Kart 8. And, like, we have great races, myself and my friends, we have great, exciting races, but this was terrible. Like, we played the cup, I can't remember what cup it was, but it was the cup with where the second track is Rainbow Road SNES.
Oh, I hate it.
Okay, so
I know what course that is.
So we jumped into that cup, and I was like, all right, cool, whatever. Mario Kart, this is going to be amazing. And then I realised in the first race, I was like, lads, I'm falling off all the time. I'm falling off everywhere. Like, what's going on? And then we got into Rainbow Road SNES, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And I couldn't believe how hard it was. Now, I know over time it'll come back, but it's just amazing how the skill level that's required for Crash, because that the drifting mechanic in Crash is the reason I think I'm so bad at Mario Kart 8 now. Because you spend so much time nailing the drifting in Crash that when you get back to Mario Kart, like, you're just kind of going, oh, it's just basically one jump into a drift and then off you go. Like, and then Crash, like, I watched a video the other night about Crash saying the main aim of that game is to never not drift. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. But then, like, have you seen anybody online, like on YouTube or something, playing this game, like proper professionals? I mean, there isn't a second where they don't drift. And I just cannot get that way at all. I cannot get that good a Crash. Like, it's mental hard in that sense. But been loving it, like, all the same. And I just was so shocked by Mario Kart being difficult again. And I also ended up buying a new 2DS XL because I ended up years ago selling my 3DS, and I had to sell it just because I needed cash at the time and stuff, and I was out of work, and I knew straight away I'd regret it. Like, I had all my Zeldas and stuff on it, and I was like, this is brutal, but it was going for just a decent price at the time. So I ended up buying one, and I'm catching up on a couple of games now on the 3DS, which is, like, kind of mad. And one of them is Metroid Samus Returns, and that game is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Like,
see, I've never played a Metroid game.
Whoa.
I know.
This is, like, an amazing starting game, I think, like, because this one came out in the Game Boy, and I remember having it on the Game Boy, and it was hard as balls. And it's a similar thing. You all know the concept of Metroid, whatever, but within this version, they've added in, like, a parry attack, and it's so satisfying. Like, there's just a lot of greatness done to this like version of it, and it's definitely the definitive version of this game. But been playing that, and also, like, jumping back into, like, Animal Crossing New Leaf and all these kind of other games, and I actually forgot just how good the DS is. There's actually amazing stuff on it. And even the eShop, there's a lot of, like, old games to get and all that jazz. So been enjoying that, and then kind of the last game I've been playing has been Bloodstained, which I know Gaz was talking about and stuff as well. I love the game. I think it's really, really good. I was a bit worried because I was hearing before I got it, like, the difficulty and stuff, and people were on about that first enemy at the very beginning, the first boss, and I was like, oh, fuck no, if this really is going to be that tough, that's going to annoy me, because I hate starting a game so early on you're just greeted with, like, just such a difficult situation. But got through it, and it was fine, and playing it away at grind. I'm interested, like, guys, do you think you'll finish Bloodstained at all? Like, what is the thing that's not pulling you? Like, because I think this has all the elements of this kind of game, but I'm just curious as to, like, what really is it that isn't keeping you wanting to play?
I mean, a lot of it was just, it just felt unfinished. Like, there was so many bugs.
Are you playing PS4 or?
Yeah, it was PS4. No, sorry, Xbox One.
Rather. Xbox One, okay.
I play it. And it's like, one boss, I fell through the floor. You know, like, just straight through the polygons. Another boss kept disappearing off the screen.
Yeah.
These little things. And it's like, when there's cutscenes, they just don't feel finished. It's like, it's almost like there's no sound. And suddenly it's like, there's things happening, but there's no sound to go with it. It's really bizarre. And I just, it just didn't really do it. The gameplay in general was good. I enjoyed that, but there was just something about it that just, I just couldn't be bothered.
That's interesting, like, because you were, like, very excited for this.
Yeah.
And I do think the gameplay is great, and, like, I haven't come across any bugs at all yet myself. But, like, Yeah, I guess I know what you kind of what you mean, but I don't know. I keep wanting to play it, you know. I don't think it's like overly difficult to what people are saying so far. Like, I think
no, it's just the beginning, really. That's like the boss on the ship is a little bit awkward, and then the first boss after that. That what I think they were kind of like the sticking points for a lot of people, because after that. I got to the sort of the bad ending. I just couldn't be bothered doing all the shit that you needed to do to get the other ending. But it's like I didn't have any issues with any of the bosses. I don't think any of them took more than one attempt.
Oh wow! I struggled like a lot with the second boss, just that random guy. Do you remember him at all? He was just like
the samurai.
No, he kind of looked more like your man from Castlevania, like in Lords of Shadow. He looked more like that kind of character. It was just like a one-on-one fight.
Not a samurai.
Moves, all right, yeah.
He was kind of, I think he was the big sticking point for a lot of people, because that one, other than him and the one on the ship... None of them took me more than one attempt. Except for one, which was the one that I fell through the floor on, which I'm not really counting because that's not fair.
I don't know. I'm loving it. I really can't wait to play more. I think the soundtrack is amazing. I think it's so on point.
It's proper Castlevania soundtrack. Yeah, it's great.
It is. It has all those elements, but I just think it's great that... It has come out and majority of people are loving it, you know what I mean? Because I think some people... I didn't think it was going to come out and be this good, you know? And again, no, no, you're having not really the greatest of times. But I kind of would have loved if I could have gotten a Switch, though. Like, I was going to buy it originally on Switch, but then I heard the difference was, it wasn't great on it, you know?
That's why I didn't go for that. Was the same thing. I was like, if I want to, I'd love to play it on the Switch. It's kind of... It's a good game for the Switch, but when everyone was saying basically it was terrible, there's no point in it. It's like, I'd rather just get a version. Okay, there were bugs on the other one, but at least the rest of the time it ran fine.
Yeah.
But when you're hearing like really bad frame rates and stuff like that on the Switch, it just made no sense.
Yeah. Other than that, that's kind of everything so far.
Nice. Gaz.
Yes.
What about you?
All I've done really is been replaying Darksiders 3.
Good job, Adam, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I still don't understand what it is he doesn't like about the game, or why he doesn't like it so vehemently, kind of thing. But I loved it. I mean, I originally played it through on the PC. Which is definitely the best version, because if you've got the PC to go for it, you've got like 60 frames, and it's very much it's needed it sometimes. Yeah. I've noticed it especially now because I've been replaying it on the Xbox. It looks nice on the X, you know, it's got like the full, but it's got no HDR, weirdly, but not really an issue. But you can tell the difference in frame rate, because I did the new DLC, the Keepers of the Void, which was... It was decent. Review should be up at some point, maybe by the time people are listening to this, I don't know. The end boss, I will say, is stunning. It was such a good fight. You know, like when you play like a Dark Souls game or something, you keep going back again and again, and you're learning the attack patterns, getting better with each thing. It was like that, and this was for like... I want to say about 40 straight minutes that I just kept going back and eventually beat it like in that time. But I was like, I really want to beat this. I'm really enjoying getting the moveset and stuff like that. And then we got code for both the PC and the Xbox version. So I've played it on both, and I'm glad I did do the PC version first, because the 60 frames per second is very good for when you're doing the dodges, because the combat in Darksiders 3, there's a lot of dodge mechanics. Like, you two haven't played it, have you? I don't think.
No.
Well, you've got like your dodge button, like you do in your Dark Souls games. But if you time it perfectly, you kind of get a slow motion thing, and then you press an attack, and you get like a critical attack from it, which is very useful against bosses. Especially, it does feel great when you basically dodge an attack after attack and just hitting these criticals. But on the Xbox version, it was a lot harder for me to judge, because I'm like, I'm pressing it thinking it's the right timing, but because like the halved frame rate, I was getting hit instead, and it was a little bit awkward. So I do understand that criticism of like the game. Like, I think that was one thing that Adam didn't like, was the frame rate on the console versions, which, I say, I get it. I'm not entirely sure why, like, the Pro and the X didn't get a, you know, like a 1080 60 mode, but, you know, not really an issue. I still enjoyed it. I loved that game. I loved the series, so it was nice to go back, and I've almost finished it again on the Xbox now. Like, I finished the DLC on the Xbox, because you have to get through the entire DLC. You need to have the four hollows, which are essentially like your weapons that you get when you beat each boss, or rather when you beat four of the bosses anyway. So you need to be quite far into it before you can really go through the whole DLC. But because of that, I was kind of, I'll replay the whole game. Now I'm at the final boss on the Xbox version, and just I'd almost forgotten how much I loved the game. And I say it was just reminding me of how much I loved the series, and like I replayed the first one on the Switch for review earlier this year.
Did that run smooth on the Switch?
Yeah, because on the Switch, then there's the option to play it either in graphics mode or performance mode. Okay. So if you play in performance, it kind of looks like it did on the 360 or the PS3, but it runs at 60 frames a second or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. Whereas you play it on like your graphics mode, it runs round about sort of 20 to 30 frames, but it looks a lot nicer.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's a very good port. I really enjoy playing it again. I want to replay the second one now, but I'm like, I need to finally play through Battle Chasers. So that's kind of my next thing, is like, I'm going to finally play that game, because I love it, and I just keep getting pulled away from it.
I saw the trailer after you suggested it, and yeah, it looks really good. So that might be one I might have to pick up for the Switch.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, I've played it on the PS4, I've played it on the Switch, and I now have it on the Xbox. So it's like, I'm gonna go for the Xbox version when I play it now, because I'm like, you know, I want to see what it looks like on the X, because I bet it's Jesus. Looks very pretty.
It's like your Skyrim.
Yeah, it is. It's just ridiculous. Like, I've played this game so much, but never got anywhere near finishing it, and I need to bloody do it.
Cool. Well, elsewhere, the previous weekend that we saw Comic Con in San Diego take place, and a lot of good stuff came out of it. We'll leave the Marvel section till the end, assuming you kind of know, both of you know what happened there.
Yeah.
Cool. So, I mean, anything in particular took your fancy, guys?
Witcher trailer.
Yeah, Witcher, the It 2 trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fucking hell, that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
The His Dark Materials trailer, yeah, as well, the new trailer for that. I love the books for that, and the Golden Compass film was fucking dog shit.
Apparently it was, yeah.
It was horrible. Like, I went to see it at the cinema. I think I even went IMAX as well, possibly. Yeah. I forget. And I was just like, this is shit. This is like nothing like the books, and just, you know, like the worst kind of way.
Yeah.
Whereas this looks like they're going full, like, book route, which I'm quite happy with, and it's got a great cast as well.
There was a ton of like amazing trailers like that. I think His Dark Materials looked amazing. Witcher. The Witcher trailer just kind of like, I think that made every person go, cool, I'm definitely in now. Like, yeah. I don't know why, but from the word go, when Henry Cavill got shown, it was just, there was just oceans of negativity straight away on it, you know? And
There would be.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, lads, look, let's just wait. We cannot judge this on this picture. But that trailer, like, I've been going into the Witcher TV show with, like, full excitement, like, since they announced it. But that trailer just blew my mind. I was like, this looks unreal. Like, yeah. Incredible. The It trailer, I absolutely loved as well, right? I loved it.
Yeah.
However, there is just a few, there's just one or two things. One of them being, I find it very strange to see, what the hell, how do I always forget his name? What's the main guy's name? He's from Split.
James McAvoy.
Yeah. I find it very weird to see him in this. I don't know why. I just see it and I go, oh, what? Because I'm so still used to the kids that have just been in the chapter one that I'm just like, I'm like, all right. And now I'm just like, we're getting these like Jessica Chastain and stuff and everything. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. I'd say it's gonna be amazing, but that trailer didn't shock me as much as the first trailer. And it still has all the elements, but there's one part that I went, oh, I don't know what I think about that. Do you know the moment where he's in like the room of mirrors?
Yeah.
And then Pennywise is just sitting there with the tongue?
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that tongue, man. Like, but I just thought it looked really silly. That part, that just that one moment seemed very silly. And I think the smile that he does is terrifying, like there and then straight after. But we've kind of seen that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I always remember when the first trailer came up, we had that whole moment of him running frantically towards the camera and stuff, and it was just like, holy smokes. This just seemed a bit more kind of like pulled back ever so slightly, but still has the energy, Joe. In fairness, like, you get to see Pennywise floating through the sky with all the balloons, and that looks insane.
Yeah.
I just wonder how scary it will be, because yeah,
the first one didn't scare me, I'll be honest.
No, it did. It wasn't that scary, but they have been saying things like, this one is going to terrify people. Do you know, like, I know that's a marketing ploy as well. But there is a lot of stuff on it. I think, like, now seeing Pennywise and seeing Skarsgård as him, I'm kind of like, I'm used to him now. I know how he looks. I know how he acts, you know, from the first movie. So I'm kind of like, what other crazy surprise is going to come from him in it? But, like, that's, like, these are not really criticisms. They're just kind of like, I'm just so excited. But it was kind of a weird one because I just went, oh, amazing. I was more kind of like taken back by the very first teaser trailer. The one with the whole kind of scene with Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
That was way more like edge of the seat, kind of like, holy shit, what's going to happen here? But yeah, like, cannot wait. Like, September is so close. Really is going to be great, I think.
So the Marvel panel was... It was pretty nuts. There was a lot of films announced that were coming out in, like, before the end of 2001. The Eternals is one, Black Widow, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, the sequel to Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Can I just say, that is a fucking awful title. Like, that just sounds like, it sounds like a pantomime.
I like it. And it's going to be a horror film as well, which is amazing.
Mental.
Yeah, Thor: Love and Thunder, which will feature the first, in the films, the first female Thor.
Yeah.
It looks like it'll be played by Natalie Portman, which is cool. Also, which kind of I got excited about was the fact they're making a Blade film and a Fantastic Four film. They've actually confirmed that it's being worked on. I think when I say worked on, they've announced it. They've got no casting. I think Kevin Feige said there's no casting or story, but it's happening, which is fine by me. With Black Panther 2, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and Captain Marvel 2 as well. And then there was all the Disney Plus shows like Hawkeye and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the What If series, which is a fantastic comic book series, which kind of imagines famous events in Marvel happening slightly differently. The WandaVision, which sounds weird.
That sounds like fan fiction.
That
sounds like fan fiction.
It's going to tie in with the Doctor Strange movie. Well, they've got the Phase 4 planned out. It sounds pretty cool, to be honest. There's not a lot to go on. The only other thing that they kind of announced for Black Widow is that the Taskmaster was going to be the villain, which is awesome because he's a badass. But yeah, it was pretty cool event. I don't know if any of you were impressed by any of the announcements at the Marvel panel?
I'm not.
Well, no,
I'll be like, some of the I think now, like before Infinity War, in fact, I was kind of like, you know, I think maybe after all this, I'm kind of done. Like, once the Infinity stuff's done. Because, I was just starting to get a bit burnt out on the MCU. It's like, some of the films...
Be prepared, my friend, because there's plenty more.
Oh, he's never going to end. But, I loved Endgame, and I loved, the new Spider-Man as well. So good. But, I don't know, a lot of this just left me cold, and I'm worried, because you've got these Disney Plus shows... You know, are they going to be essential viewing? And it's am I going to have to watch all them to get the full picture of the entire MCU? Because if so, I'm not down with that. That'd be too much.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Vince McMahon just went into Marvel and went, put it everywhere. I want it all over the place.
But I mean, I'm glad they're doing more. I'm glad they're kind of going a little bit offbeat as well. You know, there's some that Shang-Chi, which I hadn't heard of. You know,
what the fuck is that?
I don't know.
It's basically a superhero inspired by Bruce Lee, famous martial artist who's got a lot of ties with the Mandarin.
Right.
And they'll bring in the Mandarin properly as opposed to the Ben Kingsley one from Iron Man 3.
That was a thing as well, wasn't it? Because that was it one of the little short stories on one of the extras.
They had him
sort of being essentially threatened by the real Mandarin that you never saw, sort of thing. So it's I suppose it was always there somehow, but again, it's an extra thing that most people will never have seen. I'm glad they're doing something. Although it's not going to be Phase 4, but the Fantastic Four bringing them back, that to me does suggest that Galactus is going to be the overall sort of villain of this next lot. He's kind of got to be, hasn't he, really? Because beyond Thanos, I think Galactus is kind of the biggest one.
He's one of, yeah.
So it's he's probably the idea, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to sort of judge it now. I'm not just going to say it's shit. You know, I'm never going to watch them because that's nonsense. You know, I'll kind of judge it at the time whether I decide to watch them or not, but at the moment I'm a little bit wary of it all. I think maybe I'll just
it is a lot
I don't see what the issue is when they're if you read the comics and they're really shitloads of comics all the time. Like, what the difference is with films.
Comics either, to be fair. When they do, it's like, if you want to, you know, you'll have this collected version of, say, let's go for it with Civil War, for example. If you really want the whole Civil War, you've got to read this, that, and the other, and all these. That's a little bit daft. But I think with movies, it does have to be treated a little bit differently. With movies, I get, you know, you're going to have to watch all, if you want to watch Endgame, realistically, you're going to want to watch at least half of the other MCU films that kind of lead into it. But films is fine, but I think if it's a case of I've got to then pay for Disney Plus and watch, I don't know, like 20 odd episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier and 20 odd episodes of WandaVision and all this lot to then be able to watch the next Marvel film or whatever. I don't, like, that's too much. It might not be that way. You know, they might technically be kind of separate entities, but if it is a case of you're going to have to watch them to get the whole picture, I'll probably be out, I'll be honest.
I don't know, like, I ended up getting my first Avengers Endgame spoiler yesterday. I was kind of annoyed.
Have you not seen it? I
have not seen it, and, like, I'm just, I'm trying to, like, get around to watching it in some way, but, like, I'm just, it's just going on and on and on, and then, like, when Spider-Man came out, I was like, oh, I'm going to go see Spider-Man, because they're always great, and then I got told the whole, oh, you need to see Endgame before you go see Spidey, and I was like, that's a terrible rule, who created that? They should be fired instantly, I'm not into that crap at all. It's like, I want to go to see Spider-Man, and that's that. But yeah, I got my first Endgame spoiler, and I was like, oh, well, that's that then.
very to be fair, annoyed. People who spoil shit are just pricks.
This was actually totally, totally not like somebody being a prick. This was actually like an interview with a cast member talking to an IGN person, and I just went straight in. I just went click, and I watched it, and like within the first 10 seconds, it was said, and I was like, oh, why did I watch this video? Why did I do this? This is just, I don't watch anything to do with the Avengers, and all of a sudden I just clicked on this bloody video. But I'm very excited. What's that?
To be fair, Tom Holland was on Graham Norton a couple of weeks ago, and he's renowned for giving away spoilers without meaning to, and he announced the big...
Oh, he did, didn't he?
...spoiler from Endgame, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which was funny.
It was really weird, because I went to... my local cinema here, and I don't know what we're watching, but do you know before the movies they have like somebody, a celebrity or some person talking about trailers and movies that are upcoming or whatever.
Yeah.
I was sitting there, and there's these two guys who always, like, they're sitting in a cinema as well, and they're talking about like what's coming out and stuff, and they were talking about the new Spider-Man movie, but then they were kind of like, oh, listen, they were kind of having a bit of like banter back and forth to each other. But, like, I was sitting in a cinema full of people, and they started saying, oh, we can't really say much about Spider-Man, though, because, you know, what if somebody hasn't seen Endgame? And then the other guy was like, but surely everyone has seen Endgame by now. And I was sitting in the cinema just looking at the screen going, I haven't seen it. And then they started going, oh, look, that guy out there, he hasn't seen it. And I was just sitting there just going, like, I'm probably definitely the only person in this screen who has not seen Endgame. And now I just feel really strange. So there's a lot of pressure with this movie at the moment. However, I am excited for Blade. I'm a big fan of Blade.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do with that.
Yeah, I think I just make it really violent. And I think it's really cool that they got him to play Blade, and like he's just come out of like True Detective with Stephen Dorff and stuff, and it's kind of fun that way. But
who is in the original Blade?
Wesley Snipes.
No, I mean Stephen Dorff. Like, he was in the original Blade, so that's kind of a bit of a weird.
Yeah, yeah,
like you know, Kingpin. Like 6 degrees of separation kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or 1 degree in this case.
Yeah, but there's like, look, there's a lot of people. Like, I was there, and once all this Marvel stuff was announced. Like, it just, like, there's a lot of people who are just so happy about this news all the time, and I'm just like, cool, if you're up for all of this, then that's amazing. That's an amazing amount of content for Marvel fans, do you know? So I just hope I just think some of them are just very overhyped, and I've said this many times, some of these movies are just overhyped, but if they're taking these risks now with making Doctor Strange a horror movie, and, you know, bringing Blade back and doing Fantastic Four, because Jesus Christ, they need a good Fantastic Four film. Like, is any of those movies, like the last one, what was the last one? Rise of the Silver Surfer?
Well, the last one was just that remake, wasn't it? Or the reboot.
Oh, my Jesus, that was...
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be honest, I liked the old ones, the two that did with Jessica Alba and that, but I know they've, like, dick all to do with the actual comics, really. But I just liked them because they were fun and daft. But, I mean, yeah, Fantastic Four does need, like, it needs an MCU version, you know what I mean? It's like, it needs that quality with it.
I'm
looking forward to see who gets cast.
Yeah, like, I'll watch them when they come around, these things. I just to, like, go back on Thor there for a second, I think that's going to be great. I think that is just... That's going to be great. I'm, like, delighted that the Ragnarok director's back in and stuff, and...
Yeah.
Like, Natalie Portman taking it on. Like, I think there's a, like, there's just... From just this and all these announcements, as I said, there's massive changes, I think, that they're going for. And I applaud that. And I think, like, the Thor, like, Jesus, the logo looks amazing, the way it's written and stuff, Love and Thunder. And I am excited. I think that'll be a really, really good movie when it comes around. But yeah, all the Marvel.
Well, I kind of came into that expecting a bit more sort of be on my wavelength. I'm really excited.
I just crushed your dreams.
Yeah, hear my heartbreak along there. Anyway, listener correspondence. Thank you for those that have asked questions this week. Felgunner Mikhail, fellow geeker, has asked, what do y'all think of no proper Forza game this year?
Yeah, I'm not that fussed. I kind of knew it wasn't going to happen. Yeah, when you've got the Scarlet out next year, it's going to be a Scarlet game, isn't it? You know, you're going to have Halo and Forza as your launch titles for that. And
yeah, I'd assume so.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's... I don't know whether they'll go for just a standard Forza or make a new Horizon, I don't know. Or whether they just kind of try something new. Personally, I'd like them to bring back Project Gotham, but I know that's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. That was one of my first Xbox 360 games. I fucking love that.
Yeah, that was it. Like, that was one of the games I bought on the on launch for 360. Like, Project Gotham 3 was so fucking good.
Yeah, it was.
And, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of happy, at least, like, for me. Obviously, I'm the guy who likes all the racing games. It's like, I've obviously got Grid now in kind of in its place. It's kind of taking the place of a Forza, so I've got something.
Yeah. Adam, I know you've got a deep desire for Forza.
Man. I love a good pair of wheels and an exhaust. It's just totally my bag.
Them pistons and all.
Oh, they're quality, man.
Throwing a spark plug.
Just class.
Yeah. So, David Ayres, favourite Disney movie?
Lion King.
So, Jesus. I think we keep to the standard Disney animations, Pixar or normal. Lion King, Adam?
Aristocats.
Aristocats. Wow. You see,
what are you going to say about my cats, man?
No, mate.
Oh, you can't be as bad as the other cats. Let's go with that.
Oh, wait. Yeah, let's just go back to that.
Oh, whoa, Rooney. Yeah, Jesus. That weird
what
thing.
What the fuck is that?
That is some fucking nightmare fuel.
Someone had a trip and just went fucking nuts and... Like, it's mental. Like, they all look like Mike Myers' Cat in the Hat, which was dreadful anyway.
Yeah, say anyone who's listening who doesn't know what we're talking about, we're talking about the Cats trailer, which, good God,
yeah,
it's
just
why?
Just became enraged by disgust then that I forgot
yeah,
to mention.
I don't know what the idea was behind. It's like, if you're gonna do, like, CG, why not just make them, like...
Cats?
Yeah, just make them cats.
Actual cats.
Or anthropomorphize them or something, but don't just fucking just superimpose pet faces onto these.
No,
oh, God, it's
no,
just...
It's weird.
Yeah,
it's
I actually... I woke up and I just, like, grabbed my phone, I turned off my alarm, and then I just kind of, like... Do you know when you're, like, just... You're still really asleep and one eye is just hanging open? I was, in that mode, and I was just kind of, like, looking at my phone, and I just opened... And next minute, the first thing that came up was the Cats trailer. So I just went, I was like, Cats, isn't that musical thing? I was like, what is going on? So I clicked on it, right? Watched it. And my whole face did not change an expression. I was just, my mouth was open and I was just like one gemmy eye hanging open and I was just looking at my phone. And as soon as it ended, I just said to myself, I'm going back to sleep. I just don't think I can continue today after seeing that trailer.
You mean you could sleep after watching that?
It is the weirdest, man. And like the cast is like outrageous. But isn't it, the director, he did Les Mis and what was the other thing he did? Because Les Mis I went to the cinema to see and that was just absolute torture. Like, it's a musical that's just too much for me. It's not Tom Hooper, that's his name. But he did something else I think I enjoyed. He did The King's Speech and The Danish Girl and The Damned United. Okay. So, like, he's done some good, like, The King's Speech is a very loved film. But it just looks weird. And Taylor Swift's in it and everything, and you're just kind of going, it's odd. It's just an odd cast. I didn't even know this was happening.
I didn't.
No.
It just seemed to come about, and just, here's this trailer, and everyone's like, why? Which is why.
Yeah, well, it could go back into its hole.
I did see someone had, like, you know how people do mess about with these trailers. Someone basically put the sound from the It 2 trailer over the Cats brilliant. Trailer, and I was just like, yeah, this does actually fit. This fits perfectly.
Yeah, it was not good at all. But last question from LaneIt360 on Twitter. There really hasn't been a Patreon section lately, so what movies have you all been watching? Y'all been watching.
Yeah, y'all's a bit of a theme this week, isn't it?
Yeah. What shows new music? So, I'd start with you.
All right, I finished Stranger Things 3. I thought it was great. I'm not fully invested in the characters, controversial I know, but it looked amazing and it was probably its best season in my opinion. I also watched Hellboy, and that's the new one that just came out. I had a great time.
Oh, good, because I've heard so much shit about it. I really want to see it.
A great time.
I didn't bother going to the cinema to watch it because everyone said how shit it was, and I was just like, I need to kind of pick what I'm...
This movie was so much fun, and it had so many problems, but my God, I had a great time watching it. It is violent, it is really crude, it is like pretty freaky at times, it's actually quite scary. One particular moment is that's in it, this whole scene, it's about 10 minute long scene with Hellboy and this other character, and I can safely say it's one of the best things I've seen this year. Like, this one scene, it was done so well. Like, it never stops, like, in terms of its energy, it's just constant going, like, it's mental how fast it moves. There is problems, obviously, and there is a lot more stories behind the curtains of when it was being made and whatever with the cast and all that jazz. But I had a great time. I had such a great time that I ended up watching it and coming away and buying a Blu-ray of it for €40. I just like...
Fucking hell!
I just ordered the impressive 4K Blu-ray online, came with a lovely slip cover and a steelbook, and I was in. Came with 4 art cards. Give me that. Like, I can't wait to watch that shit again. And like... there's something to be said about these movies as well, and you just kind of go, it's just fun. It's just a good time. So you should all watch that.
Yeah.
I also went to see Midsommar, that new one from Ari Aster. Yeah. I went to the cinema to see that. Kind of funny experience because I don't know if you've seen the poster, but on the poster it's the main protagonist, and she's just crying. And she has this like flower chain or something around her forehead, whatever. Like, when I went to see the fucking cinema, or when I went to see this movie in the cinema, this girl arrived in. I went on my own, and I was just sitting there, and then this other girl arrives in. It was during the day, so it was pretty quiet. And this girl walks in, pretty much dressed head to toe as the main character. And I was looking, kind of going, Jesus. I was like, what? I was like, what the hell is this about? And then there was a couple in the row in front of me. And then the movie happened, and then the movie was mental and gruesome and kind of messed up and all this jazz. And it ended, and then the couple in front of me, this, like, I was just sitting there, credits roll, And I was kind of like, I take a few minutes, like when the credits roll, I just kind of sit there in case anything will happen again. And then I could keep seeing the guy in front of me looking back. He just kept like looking back at me the whole time. And I was there in my head going, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? I'm going to get out of here. And he just turned, when it got quiet, he just turned and goes, sorry, man. And I was just like, yeah? And he just went, come here. Do you have any fucking idea what just happened there? And I was just like, with the movie? And he was like, yeah, what the fuck just went on there? And I was like, I don't know, man. So he was a bit crazy. And he went, I haven't a fucking clue what just went on. I thought it was just well worth that alone. Really good movie, though. I still prefer Hereditary. I think it's just a better made movie. That's not to say Midsommar isn't, but Midsommar is definitely, it is definitely Marmite. You're either into that kind of like Wicker Man environment, folk horror thing, and you've rolled with it and you kind of go cool. But interesting movie. Just other bits and bobs, really. I watched The Secret Life of Pets, the first one, and thought it was absolutely hilarious.
It's a good fun film.
Oh man, it's very funny. Like, because I was like my girlfriend has a dog. I literally speak to this dog, like, and like I'm like, I'll see you later, and I leave, and like they're doing all this, and you can just see the dogs just sitting there going, oh for fuck's sake, this moment every day. I hate when my owner leaves. So it's kind of hilarious. But yeah, that's all really at the moment.
Yeah, Gaz.
I've not watched an awful lot. Like, I mean, I went to see Spider-Man Far From Home, which, yeah, that was great.
Is it the best one?
No. I still think Homecoming was better.
Okay.
But it is still a fantastic film. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal's brilliant. I think it's just a really good cast in general, and it's just a fun film. What else have I watched? I rewatched, I mean, I haven't watched it since the cinema, but the last Pirates of the Caribbean film. I can't remember what it's called now. That was it. It's called Salazar's Revenge over here instead of Dead Men Tell No Tales, which is a much better fucking title.
Is this one on Netflix?
It was either Netflix or Amazon. One of the two. I can't actually remember which one. But yeah, it's good fun. I think it was Netflix actually, yeah. But yeah, it's good fun. It's easily kind of like, you can tell it's kind of one too many. Mm-hmm. You know, like Johnny Depp's kind of phoning it in at this point. But it's still like entertaining. I also, another Spider-Man, I rewatched Into the Spider-Verse again in 4K. And oh, good God, that film is beautiful.
Yeah,
that to me is the best Spider-Man film. It's better than all of them.
I would probably agree with you guys.
Yeah, it's just so well done, and like everything about, and it's like no sort of disrespect to any of the live action ones, because the majority of them are good. You know, we'll ignore Spider-Man 3 because, an Amazing Spider-Man 2, which again was a bit, but the rest were all, they're all good in their own way, and like the new ones, Tom Holland is like easily the best live action Spider-Man, like by miles. Anyone that still thinks that Tobey Maguire is better just needs a slap. I'm saying that, just, you know, if you think Tobey Maguire is a better Spider-Man, then, you know, you're wrong, just plain and simple.
Would you think Tom Holland is the perfect Spider-Man, or do you think there's still a need of that perfect Spider-Man to happen?
I think he's the perfect Spider-Man in like this kind of younger Spider-Man. I don't think, because when you see Tom Holland in interviews and stuff, he's basically Peter Parker. You know, like he doesn't really need to act when he's in the film.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think in terms of this younger Spider-Man, he's the best choice. I don't think there is anyone better. I don't know whether they do another reboot somewhere down the line with an older Spider-Man, or whether they bring Miles into the MCU, which that'd be cool. I'd be interested in that. But yeah, Into the Spider-Verse, there's nothing about it I don't like. You know, it's just brilliant.
Cool.
That's about it.
What?
That's about it.
Cool. What have you watched, Chris? Well, I've started watching Vikings.
Ooh.
So I've don't really watch a lot of TV. So Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead are about the only two shows that I kind of keep on top of. And Glow, which is fucking amazing on Netflix. If you've never watched it, you need to.
Is that on the... There's only two seasons of that now, isn't there?
Yeah, but third season starts in August.
Is that the wrestling one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I watched the first season and it was great.
Yeah, it's fantastic, really. And Mark Maron's just... like I just could relate to him so much. He's great. He's a real cynical, pessimistic twat, but you love him for it. But yeah. So I kind of watched Peaky Blinders from start to finish. I'm waiting on the season 5 of that. But now... I need something else. I'll start watching Vikings on Amazon Prime, and it's absolutely amazing.
Amazing.
Really good. And the main guy is charming. Something very like hypnotic about him. He's a very good actor. And yeah, it's just a really good show. So I've kind of been watching Vikings, but other than that, I've not really been doing much else. So yeah, that's your podcast. Thank you for the questions, guys. But yeah, so that's the end of the podcast. You can follow all the stuff on the website. We've got lots of reviews and bits and pieces on there. Also coming up, I'm going to another event funded by our lovely patrons who, you know, are important to us. I'm not going to keep on plugging it. All I'll say is if you want to donate and help us get to these events, help us get better equipment for podcasts and videos and stuff, you get to Patreon. .com/GodIsAGeek. You can follow us all on Twitter. I'm at FirstAvenger83, Gary is at BlueFury47, and Adam is at AdamZokes. Guys, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Take care. Bye bye.